Good morning, everyone. I am Sergio Moretta. You may know me from previous videos. And during this session, we are going to carry out the correction of the practical case of precursor marketing. Well then, let's get started. From the practical case of precursor marketing, well, let's begin. Was the first question regarding the commercial and administrative documentation provided by Mr. Sanchez. Have you detected any errors in it? Well, yes, different errors have been found that will be analyzed next. Firstly, during the inspection, it was verified that the invoice number, dated the 1st of May, 2024 was correct. Well, the invoice, dated the 28th of April, 2024. Issued by Kimikini to its client Algus Group is incorrectly numbered. Why? Well, because this invoice, which has a later number, 9615, should also have a later issue date. But in this case, we see that it is earlier, dated the 28th of April, while the other is dated the 1st of May. Therefore, it would be an error. Similarly, during the inspection, it was verified that delivery note 24818 dated the 25th of June, 2024 was correct. And in the documentation, there is a delivery note, specifically 24801 dated the 29th of June, 2024, which is also incorrectly numbered for the same reason, as delivery note 801 from Usand should have an earlier issue date than 818. Therefore, this delivery note would also be incorrectly numbered. Similarly, invoice number 99478 dated the 1st of April, 2024 issued by Kimikini to its client Albus Group is also incorrect, as the details of the invoice recipient are incomplete, missing, for example, the tax identification number, the full address of the client, and others, in the following image. Another detected error is that invoice number 100290 dated the 5th of October, 2024 issued by Quimiquimia to its client Metal 1138, which billed 6 units of hydrochloric acid of 25L each, totaling 150L, does not correspond with what is reflected in delivery note number 24512 dated the 5th of October, 2024, also issued by Kimikini to its client Metal 1838, which states that 200L were delivered. Therefore, we have 50 liters of hydrochloric acid that differ between the delivery note and the invoice. Here we have both documents so that they can be easily viewed. Is the second of the questions raised whether the security measures are sufficient? Does the response justify this? As mentioned during the practical case, the security measures would indeed be sufficient, as the warehouse door is secured with a large padlock and there is an alarm in that area. It is not necessary for it to be connected to any alarm center, which could be the doubt that arises. Regarding Section 3, according to the documentation provided by Mr. Sanchez, what is the stock of each substance that should be in the warehouses on the day of the inspection? Here we have the correct answers, although we will proceed to analyze them one by one. We must start from the premise that the stock plus the purchases made minus the sales must equal the stock in the daily specie. Therefore, we will begin with piperidine. I must say that, for all purchases and sales, I provide the invoice number so that you can locate it. The stock of piperidine on the 1st of January was 10 kilograms, the purchases made were 20 kilograms and 40 kilograms, and the sales were 1 kilogram and 15 kilograms. Therefore, the stock on the day of the inspection was or should be 54 kilograms. The Safrol stock on the 1st of January was 30 kilograms. Two purchases made, one of 100 kilograms and another of 70 kilograms. Two sales also made, one of 75 kilograms and one of 4 kilograms. Therefore, the stock on the day of the inspection must be 121 kilograms. Regarding potassium permanganate, stock on the 1st of January was 50 kilograms. Several purchases have been made, 500 kilograms, another of 80 kilograms, one of 100 kilograms, and a final one of 150 kilograms. For its part, sales of 80 kilograms, 100 kilograms, 100 kilograms, and a final sale of 150 kilograms have been made. The stock on the day of inspection must be 550 kilograms. We continue with sulfuric acid. The stock on the 1st of January was 100 liters. A purchase of 100 liters has been made, and one sale of 80 liters. Therefore, the stock on the day of the inspection must be 120 liters. The hydrochloric acid stock on the 1st of January was 25 liters. A purchase of 200 liters and a sale of 150 liters have been made. Therefore, the stock on the day of the inspection should be 75 liters. Finally, the stock of toluene on the 1st of January was 100 litres. A purchase of 200 litres has been made, and one sale of 250 litres. Therefore, the stock that should be present on the day of inspection is 50 litres. As I have mentioned in all the purchases and sales, I include the invoice number so that you can verify it with the provided documentation. Note that we do not need to take pro forma invoices into account. And we must also consider corrective invoices, as a corrective invoice is like a return. Therefore, it would not count when making the sale, which are the errors that can be found in this case. Question 4 stated that, according to the documentation provided by Mr. Sanchez, some transactions could be considered suspicious and that if this is the case, the response should be justified. Well, after analyzing the documentation, it could indeed be considered a suspicious transaction, which would be the sale from Kimi Kimi to the client Delicatesse NSL. The documentation accompanying this operation is invoice number 100-110 dated the 8th of August, 2024 and delivery note number 24233 dated the 8th of August, 2024. The products that have been invoiced include 4 kilograms of Sofrol, 1 kilogram of caffeine and 1 kilogram of beta urine, in addition to Selfrol, which is a substance classified as a precursor to drugs. In combination with caffeine and taurine, it may be an indicator that these products are for the illicit manufacture of drugs. Furthermore, other indicators that might lead us to believe that this transaction is suspicious are that at the time of payment there is a 40% surcharge on the amount, as there is a desire for the delivery to be instantaneous, and the payment to be made in cash. Finally, the last question asks whether any other anomalies have been detected during the course of the inspection. Well, an anomaly was indeed detected before starting the inspection of the operator. The responsible agent listed was Francisco Ortiz Floria, but during the course of the inspection, we were received by Jacinto Sanchez Palencia, who stated that he is now the responsible agent since his predecessor had left the company about 3 months ago. Therefore, this data should have been communicated, as any modification of the data recorded that occurs during the duration of the activity must be reported within 15 days. Consequently, since this communication has not taken place, it would be an anomaly to consider. Well, this concludes the video on the resolution of the practical case. I hope it has been helpful. Best regards.